we have our very special guest on the line. I don't know you can craft a more unique football resume. He's got a book out called Passing the Torch. He's worked for Bear Bryant, Don Shula. His Miami Hurricanes pulled off one of the great upsets in history in 1983, winning the national title. It is my great pleasure to welcome in Howard Schnellenberger. Coach, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing these days?
Well, good. Congratulations. You've got the catbird seat here on this game, haven't you?
Yeah, so far, so good. By the way, folks, you can learn about the book. You can buy the book on the Amazon website, visit the Facebook page, use / Coach Schnellenberger. So you retired in 2011 after coaching Florida Atlantic, and within a few years, this book was complete. You worked on it with Ron Smith. You've got an amazing story to tell. But what finally made you decide, you know, I want to do this. I want to write a book and tell this story?
Well, it happened over a period of time. Everybody, when I was getting within 10 years of my unannounced retirement, they kept asking me, when are you going to write your book? And I kept telling them, well, I'm going to write a book, but I'm going to wait till last chapter is written, and so that's the reason why it came in 2011 to start the research on it to get it to come out in about 2014.
Right.
And I wanted to write the book because I was pleased with what we were able to accomplish, but I wanted to let people know that it wasn't Howard Schnellenberger per se, but it was the coach that had the good fortune to be coached by five Hall of Fame coaches, Don Shula, Paul Bryant, George Allen, and Lanton Collier, and my high school coach, Paulie Miller, who coached Fall Harding and I in high school. And by having all of that time, 25 years with working for those guys and learning by osmosis, you know, high area of concentration, stripping down to an area of low concentration, so that when the day came for me to go to Miami, I had a reason to think I could get it done.
Now, you coached for a long time, and from game planning and watching films and recruiting, all that time and effort, did you find it kind of similar as far as what you had to do to put this book together, that kind of research and attention to detail?
Well, it was the reason why. Another reason why I wanted to write the book is because I recognized that I was a different kind of a coach at every place I went, except Oklahoma, and I was the wrong guy for the wrong job at that time. But for all these five coaches that coached me, they all were builders. They all Paul Bryant at Alabama, they had lost 3 years before when he got the job. He had them in a championship in four years. Don Shula taking over an expansion team. George Allen starting over at the Rams, going to two conference championships. And then, of course, Lanton Collier going back to Cleveland and winning the first world championship since Paul Brown left the Cleveland Browns. So that gave me reason to believe that we could put it together.
We're talking with Howard Schnellenberger, legendary coach. The book is Passing the Torch, Building Winning Football Programs with a Dose of Swagger. So, Coach, I got to tell you, I'm born and raised in New York. I'm old enough. I was there for Broadway Joe when he was with the Jets. You recruited him to Alabama. What could you tell us about that young guy from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania?
Well, that young guy from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, had already committed to go to the University of Maryland. And it was a cut-and-dry thing if he could pass the entrance requirement. But on a few days before going to training camp, he hadn't passed it, and the coach up in Maryland called Bryant, who they were drinking buddies, and he says, get somebody up here and get this boy out of the East. I want him down in bury him down there in Alabama where we don't have to play him. And we got to get up there in a hurry because nobody knows about it. I'm telling you first. And Brian sends me up there with a few dollars in my pocket. And a mission is just to get him to consent to an official visit. And he wanted me to go because Frank, his brother, was on the team at Kentucky where Brian was coaching. And I and Frank were freshmen together. And we went through that mill that he had there where everybody, about half the team quit, and that we had a thing that he would like for Joe to go with Coach Bryant. His mother would like for him to play college football. Joe wanted to play baseball. He had a contract, but I was able to get him on that plane to get back there to Alabama. And the thing that made it so disjointed was that I didn't take enough money up there. I had to write two bad checks, one for the airline and one to the hotel in Atlanta where we had to stay overnight before getting into Tuscaloosa. And I made good on the checks after I had landed Namath. But he came into Tuscaloosa, and Brian was up in the tower, and he asked us to send him up to the tower. And, of course, the kids were down practicing under the tower, the players. And they couldn't believe a player going up the tower. No college president, no governor of the state had ever been up in that tower with Brian. And, damn, this kid is not even a freshman yet. He's still a free agent. And he gets him to go up the ladder, 30 feet up, 40 feet up the ladder. When he gets up there, and Brian talks to him about 15, 20 minutes, and sends him back down. And he pulls his bullhorn out and says, "Hey, guys, Joe Namath is going to come with us." And end of the story.
That's awesome. So you mentioned you were with the Rams, and then you went to work for Don Shula, who wrote the foreword from your book, and you were the coordinator for the Perfect Dolphins in 72. Now, that season, a lot of people who aren't, you know, as old as I am and you are might not remember, Bob Greasy got hurt. They lost him five games in, then comes in the veteran, Earl Morrill. How was that team able to sustain a loss like that and, in essence, complete that historic run?
Only do it with a guy named Don Shula at the helm. he had a total respect of his team, the belief that he knew how to do it. And we were on a collision course, as you know. We hadn't lost a game up until the time Greasy got hurt, and then Earl Morrill comes in and wins nine games, and then Greasy comes back and plays in the Super Bowl, and it wasn't that he won it, Greasy, but he was the quarterback when we won the game, and of course we couldn't have won it without a quarterback. But Don Shula was the architect, and he was a power that made that thing come to pass. Never has happened before. We won the undefeated season, and it hasn't happened in 50-some years since it happened.
Now, Coach, earlier I mentioned your resume. I said you were an assistant with Bear Bryant, national championship winner, Super Bowl champion. You were an All-American player at Kentucky. You turned around the Louisville program and actually, ironically, destroyed Alabama in the 91 Fiesta Bowl. But would I be correct in saying after all that, people mostly want to ask you about that 1983 Miami championship run?
Well, that's true, and I love to talk about it because it's the most important thing that our team could do was to almost make it a perfect season. We got beat by the University of Florida, where Charlie Pell from Alabama was the head coach, and he beat us pretty soundly on that day. But we regrouped, and won every one of our season games. The other 10 at that time.
Yep.
No, 11 at that time. And then to get the bid to play in the Orange Bowl, the 50th anniversary of the Orange Bowl, against the greatest football team ever assembled in the minds of most people. 22 games in a row with a win. They only lost one game in 22. And even if you go back 3 years, I doubt if they lost more than another game or two. And they were, a 14-17-point favor, had a Heisman Trophy winner, a Outland Trophy winner, had a first-round draft choice, had a defensive team that was was unstoppable, or that they were stopped everything. And the only thing we had going for us was a team that had started this plan and took this team from 1979 to 1983, and 5 year period, they had been shooting for the national championship, and they had the opportunity to do it. And then when they had the opportunity, they did it in class, and they did it a lot. It was a lot bigger win than it was a 1 point win.
No, I remember it vividly. It was one of the all-time stunners, and it was just an absolute a shocker that sent some incredible waves. So before I let you go, what do you want to tell people who haven't read the book yet and are thinking, I want to go pick it up? What could they look forward to? What are in the pages of that particular book?
Well, this is a book that's is meant to be read by any young coaches or coaches in general. And I wanted it to be, I wanted to write more than just the X's and O's. This is a book not of football strategy or how to run, how to coach a off tackle or how to have an option attack or pro attack. This talks about all the other things that go that go together to become a great football team. And we did all manner of things. To give you one example, the first as soon as we get to Miami, the thing we wanted to do was introduce the new Miami to the state of Florida. So we put our team together, put them on buses, took them to Cape Kennedy. And right before they launched the first satellites to the moon, we set up a shuttling of football down A1A from 222 miles down A1A down to the South Beach the hotel down there, and we were shuttling a football for Easter Seals, and we made 222 exchanges in shuttling the ball from two players to two players. The band met us there at the hotel, and along the way we had it all mapped out. We would stop at every town, every school, and those kinds of things are one for Louisville, one for Miami, one for FAU. Those are the kinds of things, in addition to knowing what kind of an offense to run and how to be tough enough defensively.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's chock full of great information. You've got an awesome story to tell. I wanted to thank you so much for your time. Been a long-time admirer of all you've accomplished. It's been my great pleasure speaking with you. I wish you well and continued success, and I really appreciate you taking some time to spend it with us today.
Do you have 30 seconds left?
I do. You want to give me who you like in the game tonight?
Well, I'll do that, but first thing I want to do, I want to tell you what the swagger thing in the book's all about.
Okay,
because
sure.
It's not about what you saw on 30-30, if you watch 30-30, you know my part of it, and you know where Jimmy Johnson's part of it started up. Swagger is not what you saw when the University of Miami took their fatigues and got off the plane in the Cotton Bowl. No, that's not what swagger is. Swagger is what you earn when you are in a program that's going to command so much of you that we're going to train you harder. We're going to push you harder. You're going to stay where a lot of other guys quit and went someplace else. And where it's a state of the mind, and you know that when you get to the fourth quarter and you raise your fingers up, and some people raise their fingers up and don't know why they raise their fingers up, but it's to tell the world that we are better prepared, we're better conditioned, we're better focused to win this game. And most of the games are won in the fourth quarter. So swagger is a state of the mind, and it's not flamboyant. It's not rude. It's not anything. It's a state of the mind, and that's what I believe is the most important thing we teach in football.
All right, great stuff. So real quick, Clemson, Alabama tonight, which way would you be leaning?
I'm going to double down on it. I'm going to go with Alabama with my heart, and I'm going to go with my wallet to Clemson. And if it's okay for me to double down, that's what I call.
All right, I'm with you. I've been known to double down many times myself. So, again, Coach Schnellenberger, really appreciate your time. Terrific stuff, great stories. I wish you best of luck with the book and continued health and success. You be well.
Thank you so much, and I'll be there with you tomorrow at the television set.
All right, you have a good one.